Thank you, Francis.
And now, more news from around the city, including beating the bounds in Sprowston, St. Patrick's Day in the city, the Canaries captain becomes a vegan, and more misery for drivers in Norwich. But we start this section with fresh proposals for the golf club at Helsdon.
Yes, fresh proposals have been submitted by developers seeking to build about 1,000 homes at the site of the Royal Norwich Golf Club in Helsdon. Last summer, angry residents objected to the plans, saying the already congested roads wouldn't be able to cope with the added pressure. As a result, the developers went back to the drawing board. The amended plans, which include a new school and a medical centre, have now been filed by Persimmon Homes, and a new consultation is about to begin, with 2,000 letters sent to neighbours and an open exhibition scheduled over Easter. Planning officers have said Broadland will take consultation comments and correspondence right up until the moment the planning application is heard at the end of April, according to the Parish Council Chairman Sheila Gurney.
A tradition dating back more than 2,000 years and used to mark community boundaries is to be resurrected on the edge of Norwich. The beating of the bounds played an important role in recognising settlement boundaries at a time before maps were available. It involved a ceremonial walk around the perimeter of a settlement and included various traditions. Later this year, the custom is to be brought back to life in Thorpe St Andrew in celebration of its 10th anniversary of becoming a town. John Ward, town mayor, said, "This tradition stems from a time before maps and has taken place for over 2,000 years. During this period, knowledge of the physical boundaries of a community was important. By walking around the boundary and striking the boundary stones, residents ensured there was no encroachment from neighbouring communities. The ceremony sometimes involved other unusual traditions, including the whipping of local children with sticks and the ability to enter people's homes. It was believed that by hitting children during the procession, the memory of the boundary would remain in the minds of the next generation. But Mr. Ward stressed that these aspects of the custom would not be revisited. He added, "This event will be good fun for all who attend, but we will be leaving some of the more archaic traditions in the past where they belong." The walk was later often led by church officials who would pray and bless the land, and is still practiced in some towns and cities across England today. Thorpe St Andrew Town Council is organising the event to celebrate 10 years since it was officially recognised as a town. It will involve a 6-mile walk around the boundary of the town, starting at 2 p.m. from the Fitzmaurice Pavilion on Sunday, May the 8th. During the procession, people will be asked to make donations along the way, which will be used to pay for a new defibrillator in the town.
Compared with other corners of the globe, the reach of the Irish diaspora may not seem quite so extensive in East Anglia. But as St Patrick's Day showed, Celtic roots run deep in our region, and its Irish community is still going strong. The day was celebrated by an event in Norwich marking the 125th anniversary of the Irish Society of East Anglia. It took place at the Maidshead Hotel, the venue of the group's very first St Patrick's Day lunch in 1892, a year after its creation. Over the decades, the group has supported and hosted events for people of Irish descent living throughout the region. John Gardner of Helsdon is the longest-serving member, having joined in 1976. The 79-year-old, originally from New Ross in County Wexford, said, "It's very important for us, not because we don't mix with everyone else, but because it's nice to be around other Irish people. The two things we never discuss are religion and politics, and it doesn't matter whether people are from the north or the south of Ireland. It's great that after so many years it's still running, and hopefully it'll continue that way." The society was formed on St Patrick's Day in 1891 by a small group of Irishmen who met at the old Central Cafe on Orford Hill in Norwich. Membership at that time was confined to gentlemen of Irish birth, and one of its objectives was to hold an annual dinner on St Patrick's Day each year. Today, the organisation has more than 130 members and welcomes people of all backgrounds.
Canaries captain Russell Martin has spoken of his decision to become a vegan and the impact it has had on his performance. The defender, who has made more than 200 appearances for Norwich City, revealed the change in his diet during an online interview with Paul Curtin, a vegan nutritionist. Martin suffers from ulcerative colitis, a condition involving inflammation of the colon, and said the change in his diet was initially to relieve symptoms of the illness. It started with a health problem I have, which can sometimes flare up, he said. I have stopped taking my medication for it and turned to alternative Chinese therapy. And now, along with not eating any animal products, I have not had any flare-ups since. Veganism is a popular way of eating among other top athletes. Serena Williams and Venus Williams, the tennis players, and Daniel Sturridge, the Liverpool striker, have all spoken out about what they considered to be the health benefits involved. Martin, a Scottish international, said the change in his diet has already led to an improvement in his game. I have managed to maintain and gain slight improvements in everything in terms of jumping, speed and agility, he said. I recover quicker after games and feel good. As the only vegan at the club, the change in diet has meant the chef has had to create special meals for him. However, others are now showing an interest. Now the chef is making bigger portions of my vegan meals, as some of the lads want to try a bit, he said.
Up to £200,000 is to be spent to alter a key city centre junction amid fears that a wider traffic shake-up will heap pressure on Norwich's inner ring road. A new mini roundabout and a new set of traffic lights will be installed at Finkelgate as a way to deal with an expected increase of almost 20% in traffic in the street, which links Burr Street to busy Queen's Road. Members of Norwich's Joint Highways Committee approved the changes, which they said were needed in anticipation of the consequences of the £3 million Transport for Norwich project. That work includes Golden Ball Street becoming two-way and the closure of Wesselgate and All Saints Green. Traffic modelling has shown the changes are likely to increase traffic at Finkelgate by almost 20%, from 7,200 to 8,600 vehicles a day.
With spring now in the air, people have been given the chance to explore the city by taking part in the Norwich Business Improvements BID Easter Egg Hunt. The Easter Bunny has been busy hiding eggs on posters in the city centre businesses, and people have been urged to try and find 20 of the eggs by searching the city. Those taking part in the hunt, which started on Saturday and runs until Friday, April the 1st, who find 10 eggs or more can claim a free chocolate egg from the Tourist Information Centre at the Forum while stocks last. Stephen Gurney, Executive Director of Norwich BID, said, "We encourage everyone to come along with family and friends and explore Norwich while trying to locate the eggs."
The trustees of a city theatre have defended a reorganisation that will see its joint creative directors lose their positions after an open letter raised concerns about the proposals. Stash Kirkbride and Peter Beck have been told their two-year contracts at the Mattermarket Theatre won't be renewed after trustees said it needed two full-time management roles and there was a need for greater financial expertise on the staff. The letter, addressed to the theatre's Board of Trustees and published anonymously online, said, "You may be surprised to realise the extent of the feeling of deep confusion and sadness over this decision, which we feel has shaken the community to its core. It questioned whether the decision was in line with Charity Commission rules."
The way that hospital food is being served is being given a radical makeover at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital. Eligible patients are being given the opportunity to eat their meals away from their bedside with friends and family. In one of the first schemes of its kind in the country, patients who are well enough to leave their beds will be able to order meal vouchers, which they can take to the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital's restaurant to exchange for a daily choice of three hot meals, desserts, and tea and coffee. Friends and family will be encouraged to join patients as they dine and will receive a 10% discount on their bill.
a power which would make it harder for family houses in Norwich to be turned into student homes, is unlikely to be utilised until next year at the earliest. Cities such as Oxford, Sheffield, Birmingham, Leicester and Hull have all used what's known as an Article 4 direction in certain areas to limit homes of multiple occupation, HMOs, and there have been calls to do likewise in Norwich. The order removes permitted development rights when converting homes, and that means planning permission is needed to change the use of any homes to a house of multiple occupation. Norwich City Council last year considered the use of a direction, but decided to try voluntary accreditation of landlords instead, although the door was left open.
Pupils have been dressing up for World Poetry Day. Youngsters at Taverham Hall School have been taking part and celebrating through drama. During assembly, groups have been embracing the limelight as they embrace the theme of fantasy, fables and fairy tales. Year 7 and 8 pupils took to the stage for Red Riding Hood, Goldilocks, Jack and the Beanstalk and Cinderella. Dressing up in wolf masks and boys being given the role as Cinderella's ugly stepsisters, there were smiles all round as everyone had a role. World Poetry Day celebrated some of the most powerful and popular pieces ever written. The entire school took part in the celebration, with further dramatic performances scheduled to take part in assemblies over the course of this week.
And the leader of Norfolk County Council has been shown the good work of the Alzheimer's Society in Norwich. George Nobbs visited the charity's combined peer support and activity group at St Francis Church in Rider Haggard Road. Volunteers for the group organise activities for people with dementia, while Julie Neesom, Dementia Support Manager, runs a carer support session. She said Mr. Nobbs joined in with activities with great enthusiasm and enjoyed talking to people with dementia and their carers. Miss Neesom said it was a fantastic thing to see Mr. Nobbs at our group in Norwich. The group is a vital source of support for local people who are affected by dementia. It helps to keep people involved in their local community, as well as offering an opportunity to build up new networks and friendships.
Well, that's just about it for this week. Remember, we are always pleased to hear from you and to pass on news to other listeners. You can leave your message on our answer phone at the Chatterbox office on 01603 765 365. That is 01603 765 365. And we will call you back as soon as we can. And remember, you can find us on our website, cbtn.org.uk. That's cbtn.org.uk. Please return to us your Chatterbox recording. Put it in the wallet and pop this in the postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn over the address label. Please remember that after this recording of Chatterbox, you can listen to Let's Talk.
Well, as always, we hope very much you enjoyed this week's Chatterbox, and our thanks go to the team who produced it. The editor was Peter Wilson, the sound recordist was Peter Murch, and all the items were taken from the evening news. But Chatterbox accepts responsibility for the contents of this recording. So until next week, it's goodbye from Chatterbox and from me, John Francis.
And from me, Marianne Penn.
Goodbye.